John was, I mean, Don was talking about Jugathan Neely making a profession. I read a couple of years ago an article behind a preacher that worked in prison, and they said that she had made a profession, that she'd made things right with God. Me and Sarah were talking about that. I said, I know it was wicked, but I said, you look at what Apostle Paul done. Apostle Paul done a whole lot more than what she done. But I'm glad that, I wish she hadn't have done it. She does too, I guess, now.
Right.
But I'm glad that God does have mercy on people like that. I appreciate that. I didn't do what she done, but I was just as guilty before God as she was. I appreciate His mercy, and I appreciate His grace. I was just sitting back there a while ago, or been thinking about it all day, off and on, about the crowd that we have here, and that's that way. They tell me everywhere you go, I talk to Terry Pace. He says that way everywhere he goes. Says they have a crowd that has to be visitors come in, or they just don't have any. But I thought about the few who does come here that's not here, that they like Amy. I know she's not the best of help. Brother Easton, Sister Barbara Jean, Sister Louise, Ed and Jean, and maybe some more that I didn't mention. And if I'd have went by my feelings, I wouldn't have been here tonight. But I'm thankful. I understand that. That's something that I've studied about all week, that I wish people could get through their minds. That when a preacher gets up to preach, he does not, if he's a God-called man, he does not center nobody out. It may look like it, but he does not center nobody out if he's a God-called man and preach it. You may sit there and think he got you centered out, but that's God doing that. He just preaches a book and let it lay where it will. I thought that several times whenever I was lost, that somebody had been talking to preachers when I would go to church, but it was God. If a man does single somebody out, he ought to be horse whooped and run out of town. I'm not talking about there's a lot of things you have to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I've had to do some of that, didn't like it. Still don't like it, not other preachers had to do it, but just keep it in our mind that whenever the Word of God is preaching, it's getting where we're living. It's not because He singled you out. It's because God singled you out. Amen. I appreciate His mercy, appreciate His grace, appreciate you that's here tonight. And I don't know how long we'll go, but a thought has been on my mind for several days, and I want to start off in the book of James, and I'm going to go from there to the book of 1 John, and then to Genesis, and to Matthew. And I just want us to take an account for ourselves. I told my wife today, and I have been studying about, I hear the preacher somewhere in the last few days say it, and it rung a bell when he said it, that this love that's been preached today is not the love that the Bible speaks of. The love that this Bible speaks of, you can only have it by being coming through the Holy Ghost of God. We can love one another, but it's not the agape love of God till we get the Holy Ghost in her, because it's what produces love. Now, I'm talking about the love of God, true love, kind of, will do the job. There's a human love, then there's a godly love. And the Bible speaks about when for us to love one another, he meant the godly love. Amen. The book of James, chapter 1, and I want to start reading in 12. I want us to look at something I want to preach on. Maybe just one word tonight on lust. Lust. Now that's something that every human being has to deal with. Because we are in the human flesh. Even after you get born again, God can give you the grace and the spirit and the power to overcome it, but you still have it there. I don't care what nobody says, it's still there. You just got to keep it under control. Well, listen to what the Bible said in James chapter 1, verse number 12. Bible said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But that's what the Bible says. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, the Bible teaches us that, amen, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. I've preached it for years. Being tempted is not sin. Sometimes people think just because you're tempted, people tempted to something to sin. But when the temptation comes, done when lust is conceived, we can go back and we can look at David, a man after God's own heart, a man that God honored. God really blessed that man. But when he looked out and he saw Bathsheba, taking a bath, then lust, he was tempted. Then when lust, I would almost say, the Bible don't tell, but I would say probably that wasn't the first time that he ever saw her, amen, taking a bath. And temptation began to get a hold of him, though he was a man of God. You say, well, I'm saved. David was a man after God's own heart. According to my Bible, I believe David was stronger than what we are. Amen. But when he looked out there and saw her, then that lust got conceived in her, in him, for her. Then it automatically, before he ever sent after her, he had already committed adultery in his heart already by lusting after her. When the lust was conceived, it brought forth sin. Thank God that he sent after her. Thank God had her brought to his house. Then he committed adultery with her. Then he done just like a lot of folks have tried to do that. This way I wasn't aiming to go. Amen. But the way I was going, the way I'm wind up. Amen. When lust was conceived, it brought forth sin. Thank God that he got far enough along. Amen. That when he found out it was child, he tried to get Uriah. Amen. To go back to go stay with her, but Uriah being one of his great men, he said he would not go home and stay. And the me great men of God out there fighting, I'm just not going to do it. Amen. So David wrote a letter and sent it by the hand of Uriah. I'd have given it to Joab, but I believe it was his name. And God said, put him out in the forefront in a battle and pull back, because one man dieth as well as another. So he put him out there. Thank God, and Uriah got killed. And David not only was guilty of adultery, David was also guilty, amen, of murder. Thank God, because he sent him out there just especially how to get him killed. What I'm getting at, if we ain't careful when things begin to draw at us and pull at us, we'll get to doing like David done. We'll try to figure out a way, amen, that we can get by with it. But I've got news for you. He didn't get by with it. Thank God, because God sent a man of God down there. Thank God, and read his mail and told him about a man that had a bunch of sheep, and another man just had one little ewe lamb. Amen. And the man went and got that little ewe lamb and slew him. What do you think ought to be done with him? David said the man ought to be put to death for doing that. Amen. And the man of God said, thou art the man. Amen. If we ain't careful, God things will tempt us. It'll draw us. It'll pull at us. And Satan will get on your shoulder. And he'll try how to help you to think up ways how to do things. How to get by with it. But I've got news for you. God knows your thoughts. The Bible said, he knows my uprising. He knows my sitting down. He knows my thoughts. We ain't a-doing nothing. Or thinking nothing. Or got anything in our mind. Amen. But what God don't know all about it. Amen. The man of God, told David, God had put away his sin. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. The sword will never leave your house. Amen. As always, a trouble in David's house. From then on, they still trouble over in Israel today. I'd say a lot of it maybe was because of what David done. Amen. You'll say it ain't a hurting. Nobody but me. When somebody ain't got to do something like that, it's going to hurt the whole family of God.
Amen.
Amen. Help us, Lord. I'm telling you right now, we better be careful and make sure. Amen. I didn't mean to go. I wasn't even thinking about going that way. But let's turn now to 1 John chapter number 2. Amen. Read a few verses here. What the Bible's a forewarning us. Amen. This is wrote to the church. This ain't wrote to the world. This is wrote to the church. And if a church couldn't be guilty of it, he wouldn't have sent the warning to us. Amen. And God, somebody think every time they pick up the Bible, they're reading about the world. Most of it is wrote to the church. Amen. Thank God the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. But the man of God, and God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. It's wrote to the church of the living God, and warning us how to walk and to talk, and direct our lives, and amen. You can put James Shaver, have name right at the top of the list. Amen. I thank God I wrote this book and ought to have. I put my name in there and said I'm writing it to you. Amen. Now this right here is something that's hard on all of us. I don't care how much I thought about today or last few days. Amen. I've been 43 years or will be this September when I got born again right here. And I can't remember who all of them was. But I remember me and Brother Toe Batchelor and Hubert Fugit, and some more we used to meet every Saturday night. Amen, to have prayer. Amen, I don't remember how long it went on. Sometimes we'd come here to the church. Sometimes we'd get around these pine trees. That's out here where the fellowship hall is. And sometimes we'd go to Tobe's house. Sometimes we'd go to Joe Willie's house. Thank God, but every Saturday night we'd meet somewhere for prayer. But gradually, one by one, they begin to drop off. I thought, how good would it be for the church again? I know everybody can't come. Amen. How good would it be for us to sit by a night? Amen. Either meet here at the church or somewhere and have prayer. Amen. I bless your heart. And God, we need the more of God in the day we're in. The wickedest things that's going on in this community and other communities. We need the help of God that we can stand in this evil day. Amen. I'm not getting on to us. Don't ever think that I'm preaching in a way to get on to you. I'm trying to encourage you. Amen. Now see what John said in John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know that'll get pretty close to us. Me and my wife was talking about that today, about loving the world. I said, he ain't talking about this tree-hugging bunch. Amen. Ain't God go around hugging trees and kissing them. He's talking about the system of this world. Whatever the world's are running after, ain't God, you run from it. Ain't be unto God what time. Oh, bless His name. What time we waste messing with the things of this world. How the shape our world's in. And our lives is in. It would help us a whole lot how to spend that time in prayer, seeking the face of God. Amen. God help us, Lord. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And comma, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now I think that is pretty plain. To me, it chews me up, Tommy. Amen. It's hard for me to keep my nose out of a lot of things that I ain't got no business in. Amen. I'm not talking about going out to a beer joint or something like that. I know what I'm talking about. Thank God, great name. Matter of fact, I might all keep it to myself. Matter of fact, amen. You know what, full-time paper, they couldn't cut it down to 3 days a week. and got to where they ain't got nothing in there but sports, amen, and going to go up on the price of it. And I phoned them the other day and talked to them. Amen, they might have wished I had before I got through. Amen, I said, you call yourself a newspaper? I said, all you got in there is sports, sports, sports. I said, if you're going to be a newspaper, I put out some news. Amen. I said, mark my name off the list. If you can't put it on there, when they come in making excuses, amen. I want to, if I'm going to buy a newspaper, I want to read the news. If I wanted sports, I'd go where the sports was. I'm interested in the news. I'll see what's going on around me. Amen. So I know, amen, how to stay away from some of the stuff that's going on. Amen. I'm not sending nobody out. I'm just preaching. You can say I'm preaching to myself. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. Thanks be unto God. I talked to a preacher yesterday morning. I preached to him, and me and him did for about an hour on the phone. And he's talking about getting tired of all these solicitors is phoning him. Thank God. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you exactly how to get shed of them. He said, how's that? I said, every time one phones you, start preaching to him. Testifying about the saving grace of God. Amen. Testify about, amen, where all these scam artists is going to wind up in hell. I said, you'll stop them. He said, I never thought of that. He said, but I'm going to give it a try. I'm getting it scattered around. How to get them to preach to a few of them folks. Hey, man, I'm talking to one other day. Thank God. He said he didn't believe in hell. I said, I'm going to tell you something, man. About 2 seconds after you draw your last breath, you're going to know for sure then that there's a hell. Amen. For the Bible tells us to love not this world, neither the things of the world. He said, if any man love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, ain't that Bible? I ain't preaching enough. This Bible don't say. Turn with me, if you would, the book of Genesis. I'm going to preach on a little bit, just a little bit on lust. I'll not go too far. But I want us to look about the lust and what it'll do. Then I want to go to Matthew and show me and you both how to overcome it. You can't do it yourself. If a thought, Jason, I believe, said it back the other night, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But you sure can stop it from building a nest in your hair. When he starts putting evil thoughts, the Bible tells us to think on these things. I know I got the flesh to put up with, just like you have. Amen. Sometimes I catch my mind, Tommy, where it ought not to be. I got to say, oh God, help me. Amen. But you look here now in the book of Genesis. Amen. It started in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now here comes the temptation. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now give them instruction. Give Adam instruction. And then Eve come and Eve knew what it was. Amen. Because Adam had done told her. She wouldn't have known it. But the devil know the weakest part. For the Bible teaches us that a woman is a weaker vessel. It teaches that. Amen. I didn't make it that way. God did. I bless your heart. He didn't come to Adam. He come to her. But Adam was a little spineless wimp. He'd have stood up and told her, no, we're not going to mess with it. But he didn't do it. Now let's look and see what the serpent done. First thing he laid on her was the pride of life. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, but God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now there's the pride of life. God knows when you eat that, you're going to be as God. You're going to be something. Now that's the way he comes to us. Might not be with that very same thing, but he comes to us, Tommy, with something that'll make it turn out, make it sound real good to the ear just before you step into the sinkhole. There was the pride of life. Amen. Now let's look at the next verse, chapter 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye. Amen. So there you are right there. There is. Amen. The lust to the eye. Pride of life is be wise as God. Pride, the lust of the eye is to look upon it and see how beautiful it is. Hope you're getting something out of this. That's the way the devil works. That's just like me and my wife were sitting a while ago at the house, and these people, me and Oscar, I guess, were talking about last night, me and somebody. I was talking about where people are worried about the second coming of the Lord. They tossle and dig, they tossle, trying to figure out when he's a coming. That's my least worries when he's what? When he comes, whether it be tonight, whether it be a rapture, whether it be not be a rapture, that's my least worries. He has said, be ye therefore ready, for in an hour you think not the Son of Man's coming. Be ready. That's what I'm studying about. Amen. Keeping this vessel pure before the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you, he'll come with this pride of life. He'll come with the lust of the lust of the eye. And he'll get with you. I'm going to tell you right now, somewhere tomorrow, some of this will get to you. Some of this will tempt you. That's his job. The Bible said your adversary, the devil, go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Get to who he can talk to and get them to listen. Now let's look at the last part of that. The lust of the flesh. Verse number 6. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now that is the lust of the flesh. We're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
The simple plan of salvation is, I got in on that Romans 9 and 10. On 10, 9 and 10. But I backed up for the night and read the verse 8. I told my wife, I said, oh boy, that changes verse 9 and 10. Because verse 8 talks about preaching. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? How can they believe on whom they are heard? 8 tells you about their preaching. 9 tells you how, then after you hear the preaching, what to do to be saved. Amen. Bless your heart. But this Bible is talking to us and tell the pride of life. Simple thing of salvation is just to hear the Word of God preached.
Amen.
Then when you hear the Word of God and the Holy Ghost convicts you, condemns you, draws you unto Himself, go to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and don't repeat no prayer to anybody. Repent. Tell God how sorry you are. Amen. I mean, just whatever you need to tell Him, tell Him. Then the Bible said, repent and be baptized, arise, and walk in newness of life. He didn't say nowhere in there to start worrying about where His second, third, fourth, and fifth coming was.
Right.
Amen. This here, right here, give me done all I can handle is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life.
Amen.
That's all that bothers me. Them three. There ain't nothing else in there that bothers me. If it was to get mad at somebody and kill them, what would it be? It'd be the pride of life or the lust of flesh. One thing made you mad, and you just, I'll show them. I mean, it's all covered under that. But He said, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, don't you notice something like that? And look at it close. He was with her when she took that. He wasn't off down yonder somewhere hid. Paul said right there, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. He was standing right there with her. He did not say, leave it alone. He did not say, God said not to eat this. God did not say, do not touch this. He just went ahead. You know who he wound up blaming it on? He wound up blaming it on God. Because he asked Eve. Eve said, the serpent beguiled me. Then asked Adam, and Adam blamed it on God. He said, it's that woman that you gave me. Wound up, God was the cause of it all, according to Adam. But you and I can't overcome it without God's help. Matthew chapter number 4. And the Bible said in chapter 4, verse number 1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit, capitalized, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Led to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hunger. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now there is the lust of the flesh. Flesh was hungry. The devil tempting him said, if you really are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now you know that flesh was hungry. The fleshly part of Jesus Christ was hungry. The God part of Him overcoming. What I'm trying to say is, we're going to have the same spirit in us that Jesus had if we ever overcome the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. We're going to have that sap that I was preaching about the other night. Now let's look down. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's telling us exactly how to war against the devil. Use the word of God. Havis Crawford, old holiness preacher, he's dead now. But I got acquainted with him years ago. He said, I'm going to tell you how to know the devil. He said, you ever see him, he'll have three scars on his head. And I thought, man, where'd you come up with that? He said, because the Lord's whacked him three times with the sword of God over the head. Amen. Because it's three times here that Jesus Christ whacked him with the sword. The word of God. Now there is the lust of the flesh. Now let's look at the pride of life, verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Can you imagine him asking Jesus, if thou be the Son of God? Now he'll ask you the same thing. I don't care how much testifying you do, how much praying you do, there's going to be times. There is going to be times when God is going to let you be tempted. There's going to be times. Jenny, there's times in your life when you don't feel safe. Hey, sometimes in my life I feel like I never have even known God. But yesterday I felt good all day. Felt like a 16-year-old boy. Mowed grass just about all day and preached all day long just about on that lawnmower. Preaching on this very thought. All it's here is a lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And it's after every one of us.
Amen.
Them that ain't here tonight, that Amy because she's sick, and East and Barbara Jean because they're not able, Ed and Jean because they're not able, Sister Jimmy Sue, and all them that's not able, I'm telling you right now, he tempts them just like he does us. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, is that not the pride of life? Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If he can't get you to do it, he at least wants you to tempt God. I wonder, put my name in tether, I wonder how many times I tempt him in my lifetime. I'm kind of like Brother Billy Mitchell. I've heard him say it a lot of times. How do you know that you repented? He said, because I've been repenting ever since. That's exactly how I know I repented, because I do it every day, every night when I go to bed. During the night if I wake up, I do. All day long, I do. Repenting continuously. God, as David said, search me, O God, see if there be anything in me. David said, if there's any unclean thing, might be something there that I don't know nothing about, but you do, at least show it to me that I can correct it. Amen. James, shut up. Amen. Now let's look at the lust of the flesh. Again, the devil taketh him up into a exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, ain't that a smart devil? He's the one that made the world. He's the one that spoke it into existence. He's the one that made everything here. Then the devil trying to get him to give him something that's already his. Now, he's a smart devil. Amen. He'll do you that way. Amen. And he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth hell, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I'm going to tell you something. You are going to be tempted. You can mark everything that you're tempted with under one of them three things. And I'm going to tell you, according to what Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, then he overcome them, and he told us how to overcome him. Talk back to the devil, lay the word of God on him, and worship God, and God and the devil will have to leave you. Then God will send angels down to minister to him.
Amen.
I know you have. I know I have. I know everybody else in life. I'm talking about what good time that you felt like that you wasn't even saved. But when you get out from under that load of temptation that the devil puts on you sometime, you just be driving down the road and God will get in the car with you. I don't know what times I've had it happen. But I had a new 1989 model Dodge pickup. And what about that new plant and bulk out above town? I come out of my house and got right that black hole. And I guess I was so low I'd had to reach up, Don, to scratch my feet. I was so low. When I turned that curve, I began to talk to the Lord. Next thing I know, Tommy, I was sitting in the parking lot, done that bulk out, done parked the truck, just sitting there. What do you say, preacher? The Lord come down in that truck. Amen. Just before I come around that curve, I was dead. I went through town. I don't know. Amen. May have went up the valley ahead and come back. I don't know how I got there. But I know I got there. Thank God, because I was low. The Lord sent angels by. Amen. To strengthen me and help me. And if he done it for God, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for any of his young ones that'll submit unto him.
Amen.
Amen. I'll just hush right there.
Amen.